She looked up from under her dark lashes and said, "Thank you for the meal, sir." I started with surprise. "You're welcome. I hope it is to your satisfaction." My brow creased as I studied her. "Oh, yes, I never had such a fine meal at home." A sly flash of cunning lit up her eyes for a brief instant. "And where is home?" I had no idea why she was playing this game with me, but I was definitely going to play along. "Oh, it's just a little farm in Wiltshire," she said, twirling her glass with slender fingers. Her hair was coming out of its arrangement in long strands that curled gently around her shoulders and down her back. The firelight lit it up with streaks of amber and gold. I remembered how soft it had felt against my chin as I had carried her down the stairs. "But now I'm off to my aunt's house," she continued, "where she's going to teach me to be a lady's maid, which I think will be much better than milking cows." She lifted her cup to her lips, looking at me over the rim with a dare in her eyes. I fought hard to bite back a smile. A dairy maid? What in the world was this girl about? I was a poor farmer's son if she was anything close to a milkmaid. "So, you are a dairy maid?" I asked, once I had my amusement under control.
"Yes, sir."
A hint of resentment flashed in her eyes, and I thought I understood. But I was not stupid, and I was certainly not stupid enough to stop this game before seeing her reach the end of it. In fact, I decided to go on the offensive. "How many cows do you have?" She watched me carefully.
"Four."
"What are their names?"
"Who?"
"The cows," I said blandly. "Surely they have names." She hesitated. It was only for a second, but long enough for me to see the uncertainty in her eyes.
"Of course they have names," she scoffed.
"And they are?"
I held her gaze, challenging her. I tried to force my expression into one of innocence, but I could see she was not fooled.
Her eyes flashed with the cool challenge, and she said smoothly and quickly,
"Bessie, Daisy, Ginger, and Annabelle."
I was winning. "And when you milk them, you sing to them, do you not?"
"Naturally."
She lifted her chin and met my gaze, daring me to go on. I was not about to stop now. So I leaned across the table, looked into those clear, beautiful eyes, and said, "I would love to hear what you sing to them." She gasped in consternation. I was certain I had won. But then she lifted a hand and began to hit the table with it. Thump, thump. Then in a low voice, with a complete absence of tune and a funny, wavering quality to it, she sang, "Big cows, thump, lumps of meat, thump." My eyes widened. I stared in wonder and awe. "Give me milk, thump, warm and sweet, thump." She pressed her lips together tightly, the last loud thump echoing in the room round us. The amusement I was trying to hold in was too much. I was going to lose, and I would gladly lose this game every day for the rest of my life, if it meant looking into these eyes so full of mischief, intelligence, laughter, and embarrassment. Then her chin quivered, and with a break of control, she snorted a loud, unladylike snort. I threw my head back and roared with laughter. I heard her laugh joining mine. I had not laughed like that in years and years, not since before Charles had died. When I could finally speak, I said, "Lumps of meat?" She was mopping her face with a napkin, her eyes streaming with tears, her mouth curved up in a breathtaking smile.
"I was improvising."
I shook my head in amazement. She had won. She had definitely won. "That was amazing."
"Thank you," she said with a gentle, refined tilt of her head.
I smiled at her across the table and then suddenly thought of my earlier silence and my own stupidity. I leaned forward and asked, "Shall we be friends now?" She caught her breath, and as I waited for her answer, I felt breathless myself.
"Yes,"
she finally said. Thank heaven.